Welcome to Not Your Boyfriend's Sports Show. I'm your host, Maeve, and this week on the show, we visit the U.S. Pond Hockey Championships in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The amateur event has been held annually for the past 12 years on Lake Nokomis and boasts over 100 teams competing in everything from the kids' games to the over 40 group, a women's tournament, and the headlining open division. It's where backyard heroes compete with former NHL greats, the prize is bragging rights, and temperature ain't nothing but a number. So do as the Minnesotans do, crack open a beer, and enjoy the game. All right, here I go, my first ever time walking on ice. Wish me luck. Godspeed. Pretty much feels like walking on hard snow, except the terrifying threat of falling through to your icy death. We're walking across.
Oh, did you feel that?
Woo! Stop it. After surviving my first 100 feet walking across the ice, don't worry if you hear it crack a little, they told me. I was ready for the rest of the day. Bundled up against the cold, it's true what they say about Minnesotans. They're all so nice. Case in point, the first guy I met watching one of the women's games immediately offered to introduce me to his girlfriend.
Okay, I'm Caitlin Garrity, and we're on the Gold Diggers. And we play, this is my fourth year playing at the Pond Hockey Tournament. So just love coming out here and skating and getting to play since I don't get to play anymore. Growing up in Minnesota, you kind of play every year and get out there whenever it's cold, and it's kind of part of the state's culture. So yeah, I played growing up.
What do you do now after your games now?
We go to the Labatt Blue tent and drink some beer and hang out and, you know, meet everyone who's here and just have a good time.
Nice.
Amazing.
And that was basically it. Everyone's attitude the entire day. Chipper, friendly, here to spend time with friends and drink a couple beers. So, good game, listeners. Just kidding. Not about the nice part. Even the Zamboni guy was in good spirits.
My name is Dustin. I am driving the Zamboni for the U.S. Pond Hockey Championships. Just trying to make the best ice we can for the tournament out here.
So this is actually my first time ever out on a frozen lake. And one of my first impressions was that the ice is pretty uneven when you first step on it.
It is. I mean, it's how nature freezes it. And however that is, we have to come out with the Zams and try and make it as level as we can. And, you know, there are going to be uneven spots, but that's just part of pond hockey.
Part of the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, we do what we can, but we also kind of go with Mother Nature.
Best part of driving a Zamboni?
I guess the attention.
Oh, yeah. Getting to be on podcasts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It makes me feel good seeing everybody else have a great time after what I do for them. So it feels good to give back and have everybody have a good time.
So what brings out this many people on a cold day in the middle of January? It started 12 years ago with a guy named Fred Haberman.
So there are a couple things that happened at once. First off, I saw this amazing picture in Sports Illustrated of this hockey tournament in northern Canada, and I was like, wow, that's cool. It'd be so fun to do that in Minneapolis. And then simultaneously that winter, I had a backyard rink on a creek, and I was like, you know what? I'm 39 years old. I really want to do something that is just absolutely positively something that I'm purely passionate about. And I wanted it to be a community-oriented event. And if in retrospect, I look back and say, wow, that was really crazy. I probably should have started with just 2 to 3 rinks. I immediately went out and bought boards for 25 hockey rinks, and then started talking to the park board and the mayor and the governor, and they didn't know me from Adam. They all thought this was completely insane. And I knew I wanted to put the tournament in the middle of the city on a lake where you could see the skyline, where people from all walks of life could get excited about this, and that it would be amateur, an amateur event. And lo and behold, somehow or another, we got it up and running that first year.
That first year, they signed up 116 teams, like it was nothing. Fred said they had another 250 on a waiting list, took over Lake Nokomis, set up some boards, and before you know it, they had themselves a tournament.
Well, first of all, it's outdoors. Secondly, with pond hockey, we play 4-on-4. There are no whistles related to offsides or icing. It's hockey the way we played as kids, where we just, in essence, the way we played when we were kids, we played in our backyard, we played at the park, and we would just play pickup. It was unstructured, and we policed ourselves. We call it unstructured hockey. And so in this case, at the U.S. Pond Hockey Championships, we wanted to emulate that or replicate that experience. And we did it by creating smaller rinks than your indoor hockey rinks. And once again, we don't have any blue lines or red lines, so there's no icing, there's no offsides, there are no goalies, and you have to shoot the puck into two holes that are in a small wooden goal that stands about a foot high and about 6 feet across. And there's a real premium on stick handling. There's no checking as well. And of course, there's no fighting. It's a real game of finesse. What they're doing, though, is they're going back to, as I mentioned, the way they played as kids. And that was really one of the main reasons for starting the tournament. I wanted to help create an opportunity for people to play the way they played as kids, to reunite with their youth, reunite with their friends. And really what this is the backyard writ large, so to speak, where people can come from all over and play hockey the way nature intended is kind of what we say.
Hockey the way nature intended. Yes, it's a slogan. But to hear it from some good old-fashioned hockey dads on the sidelines, it's also how they grew up. Take it from Miles Fergan.
Oh, I love coming out onto the rink, and, you know, it reminds me of clearing the snow off our ice at home and, you know, playing. It's fun to watch. I grew up just in Richfield, which is 10 minutes from here.
And what's like one of your best pond hockey memories?
Well, we go out every Christmas and play with the neighbors. And so, I mean, I can't distinguish one from the other, but just the tradition of going out and playing on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day is fun.
Next, I met Randy Westerham, and he sang a similar tune.
But you grew up playing hockey?
Oh, yeah.
On the pond or on the rink or both?
On the pond.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, everything was outdoor at that time. Frozen toes, you know.
Yeah.
We used to, you know, we wore no socks in our skates because, you know, the socks would collect water and they were cotton. And that's why your feet would freeze. So we wore no socks.
That's hardcore.
Oh, no, that was warmer, actually.
Have you lost any toes?
No. No.
You're the fourth person she's
asked. Like any good hockey dads, Miles and Randy have been watching their daughters play for more than 2 decades, the way nature intended. But I should pause here and explain some more of the scene. Imagine a huge lake covered in ice 18 inches deep, about 30 rinks set up, one right next to the other, and a few tents for warmth, notably the beer sponsor tent, where a couple fire pits had melted some of the top ice to the point where you could feel water swaying underneath you. And this freaked out absolutely nobody except for me. Then there was the big warming tent, which, given the number of hockey players packed inside, did not smell as bad as expected. And padded walkways were laid down everywhere to prevent everyone's blades. And every once in a while, you'd see an ice fishing hole that had been frozen back over. So how do you take hockey the way nature intended and turn it into an event for hundreds of people to enjoy? That's where Jody DeLoret comes in. She's the founder and CEO of Wow Factor Sports.
There are some fun logistics that do relate to it being a cold weather event that is outside. It's held in a park with a beach and a lake, or as we like to call it, the pond. So you can just imagine the additional logistics, including, you know, we have to bring in power, we have to bring in heat, lighting, restrooms, and build the warming tent, which is massive, by the way, and the list kind of goes on. I mean, if we need it we have to bring it in. It's not just, you know, tell the facility that, you know, we need the lights turned on at 4 o'clock. I mean, we actually have to have the electricity to have the lights to have somebody turn them on. We're starting to pay attention to the ice conditions, if there is any ice, and as soon as we can start measuring the ice depth. As far as on-site execution goes of all that planning, I'd have to give a shout out to the staff and just the amazing, the volunteers and the referees for this event. I mean, they are just incredible. We really run on about 200 volunteers and referees. And we actually have some volleys and refs this year that are signed up for their 12th year. So meaning they've been at every single event. So
back at the tournament, we run into some interesting characters. For instance, this guy who's wearing a skunk hat. Yes, a skinned skunk turned into a hat. Meet Joey Olson.
This is a North American skunk hat, tail and all.
Did you have anything to do with the killing or skinning of this skunk?
Unfortunately, I did not. My brother got it for me for Christmas, but I have harvested a skunk before.
Is that what it's called, harvest a skunk?
That's a nice way to say it.
And his friend, Sam Smith.
There's nothing like just getting hockey guys together and drinking beer and playing hockey. It's just, it's a great day. Well, nice weather, too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Great.
Do you guys have beers before the game? Is that part of the secret to success?
It's the way you stay hydrated. Hydration is key.
Yeah, it's good for after, too, recovery.
Yeah.
Get your legs like back.
Not quite as good as Gatorade, but it's a close second.
Yeah, yeah. Not as many electrolytes.
Close, though.
Right.
Isn't it?
Very close.
Very close.
So, did you guys grow up playing pond hockey, or is this a transition from indoor hockey?
Big transition.
Yeah, big transition. It's a lot different.
Best part of pond hockey?
Just being with your buddies.
Worst part of pond hockey?
It's not hockey.
What do you mean? Expand.
Completely different game.
Yeah.
These guys are veterans. We're learning.
There's a lot to learn how to play this style of game. That's for sure.
What's,
it's fun, though. It's fun
it
being
is
outside.
Fun.
That's
it's
the
fun.
Best part.
It is fun.
Top 3 tips to succeed at pond hockey.
Play defense and skate really hard.
Yep. Leave it all out there.
All right.
Fred, the founder, still plays. And the way he tells it sounds pretty much like Joey with his skunk hat and his buddy Sam and the dads on the sideline and all the players in the women's division. It's fun, you're with your friends, and it reminds you of home. But when I asked him what his best memory was from all these years of the tournament, it was actually when everything almost went wrong.
I'll give you the moment of where I thought the whole thing was going to unravel. We got all these boards, and you get enough hockey boards, and these are a foot and a half high boards. They're exactly 117 of these boards per rink. So these massive pallets that all of a sudden showed up on the shore of Lake Calhoun in Minneapolis. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh my God, what have we done? And we don't really know how to put them together. But anyway, I got all these volunteers on the Saturday and Sunday prior to the following weekend's event. And on that Sunday, we basically got 2/3 of the rinks up. So the following Monday morning, I'm driving to the rink with just a few people to help, you know, finalize the setup. And lo and behold, 90% of all the boards had fallen down. We hadn't put them correctly. And I'm on the ice all by myself with looking at this disaster. And you know that feeling when you're about to cry and that feeling comes up from your stomach into your chest and you got to swallow it down? That was the feeling I had. Like, I'm going to be the laughing stock of the universe. And so I called the park board up, the Hennepin Minneapolis park board, and they just bailed me out. They got some people to help me put the boards up. We learned how to do them correctly. And, you know, I think, you know, there's no doubt that really the thing that stands out for me is when I just saw literally thousands of people and so many people that came together to help me that first year volunteering, and people that were just so happy that we had accomplished this together. I can't tell you what that was, how special. And I'm thank you for asking me that, because I haven't thought about that in a while. And that That was a really beautiful celebratory moment for me in my life.
I know it sounds corny, but the word I keep coming back to after my day at the tournament is community. It was a community event that actually delivered. The people were nice, the hockey was earnest, and everyone just enjoyed being out on the pond. As my Minnesotan friend put it, you don't get too many opportunities in the winter to socialize out here, so you gotta make the most of it. The whole thing was almost enough to thaw my cold, cynical Boston heart. As they say, it's nice to be nice. That does it for this week. A special thanks to all the kind folks at the U.S. Pond Hockey Championships, especially Fred Haberman and Jody DeLauret, for coming on the show. Remember to check out the website, nybfsports.com, to find old episodes and sign up for the newsletter. Plus, you can follow the show on Twitter, that's at nybfsports, or give us a like on Facebook at Not Your Boyfriend's Sports Show. And, as always, good game, listeners.